Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those of you who are watching online or watching right now or watching later on during the day or the week. We trust that our service today will be a blessing to you all. The theme of today's service is vision and mission, and in the grapevine this week, David Pryor asks four questions. And I made a note of particularly of the first question and the fourth question. The first one was, what does God want to accomplish through us? And the fourth, who will we serve and how will we serve these people? Now for me, at least part of the answer to those two questions might be found in what Jesus read in the synagogue one Sabbath when he was back home in Nazareth, and he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, all nicely rolled up. And he read from what we know as chapter 61, these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So just as David asked some questions in the grapevine, here's my question for this morning's service and for the weeks ahead. What is God inviting us to do, to be, and to accomplish? Leave it with you. Now, I'm really sorry that you can't sing again. Those of you who are watching online, go for it. But embrace, if you're able to, the music and the words of the songs. The words of the songs will be on the screen. And I'm quite sure in listening to music and observing words, the Spirit of God is still at work in us, speaking to us and enabling us to worship, even though there are no spoken words coming out of our mouths. So blessings to you. Thanks, God.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away. Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. Your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. The kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. None can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. None can compare to your matchless word. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away. O ancient of days, O ancient of days, O ancient of days.
Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for the things that we have received and taken into our lives that have been passed down through centuries and centuries and millennia. Thank you for the gift, Lord, of the revelation of yourself, your love for us, the forgiveness that is ours, the hope that is ours. And Lord, even in times of challenge and difficulty, the peace that is ours, it comes to us through your presence. And we pray, Lord, that as we live our lives with your peace present to us, may we also be living and vital channels of your peace. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, our true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. When there's despair in life, let me bring hope. When there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Master, on that I may never see so much to weak and soulless to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Be a child of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Giving to all that we receive, and in dying that we're born to life.
Amen. David's tied up in knots. I just invite you all now to, as you might be able to, exchange a greeting of peace with each other. Just, you know, a wave, a salute, or however you like to do that.
Thank you.
It's the quietest greeting of peace I've heard in the place for a long time.
Okay, today's reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. the commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. She is his new creation, by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one more on the earth. A charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one love. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Through toil and tribulation and tumult of the war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Could I invite you to stand, please, for the last verse?
Yet she on earth had union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us praise that we again believe and know thee on high again with thee.
Father, we praise you for that incredible thing we call church, whose foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you for the new creation that is ours in Jesus. New life, freed life. We praise you that you've given to us, Lord, so much. And this morning, Lord, we bring to you and remember before you our offerings, the offerings that Leon is holding just now, the offerings that have come to the church through the online system. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to use what we bring to you wisely for the sake of your kingdom and the glory of your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please take your seats.
So, good morning, everybody. Kids, if you want to come down the front, we'll... you can come too. So, good to see you all today. I thought I'd ask you some questions. Now, when I was a young fella, there was an American who used to do TV, and his name was Julius Sumner Miller. Who can remember that? why is this so? Today, I'm going to ask you some why is this so questions. So, it's really important to know our whys. Now, let me start by this. I've been talking about whys, but we also need to why. What is this? Okay, put your hands up. What do you think? Pillow? Okay, so what do we do? Why do we have pillows? Pillows to sit on? Yeah, what else we could do? What else we do with pillows?
To sleep on.
Go to sleep on, yes. Any further questions? All right. Okay, I'll run for some more. What about this? What is that? Yes.
A hat.
Why do we have hats?
Because to not make you get burned from...
Yeah, look, excellent question. So like, good job. Any other comments, questions?
To protect your head.
Keep my bald head covered, yes. All right, what else we got here? What is that?
A blanket.
A blanket, yes. Oh, can you undo that for me? It's one of those picnic blankets. Why do we use it? I've just described. Okay, well, let's flick it out here. So it's a big blanket, and you put it over everything. Perfect. So why do we have this? What are we using this for?
Sleeping.
Sleeping, yes, sleeping is good. Picnic. Eating. Yes, so we can sit on it. All right, what about this one? Okay, what is it? It's an umbrella.
Protect you from rain.
Protect you from rain, what else?
You use it for.
Huh?
You use what you use it for.
You use it for lots of things. Some people use it to keep off the sun. So it's really just magnificent. Okay, so it's really important. So we have these, so it's important that we know why something is used for. So if I said to you guys, let's go play footy, and I picked up this, that wasn't a bad kick, almost took your head off, Sam. Does that make sense? Am I using the pillow correctly? Put your hands up if you think I'm using the pillow correctly. No. So, it's a thank you. I've obviously got a stronger leg than I think. So, the Bible reading we had today, Jesus said, he gave us a word. He said, I want you to go into the world and tell people about my love and all this sort of stuff. But the question is, why? So, that's what? Jesus says, go into the world. Why? Why is Jesus telling us to go in the world? Because it's pretty boring inside? Because what? Why? Why is Jesus saying to people, as Christians, go into the world? What are we supposed to be doing?
Sharing God's word.
Telling God's word, yes, that's good. What other things could we be doing?
Spreading God's word.
Sharing God's love. Any other? What do you think? What are we doing when we're going into the world? We're sharing with people down the road. Are we trying to make them feel bad, mad, and sad? We're trying to make them feel
happy.
So Jesus said, I will be with you forever. And part of that why is because just as Jesus loves us, wants us to share that love with others. And that's really what we're here for, isn't it? And it's a challenging sort of thing. All right. You've got Sunday school this morning, which is good. Scott is here, and I'm assuming that's what you're doing. Yep. just checking. Let me say a prayer for you as you go out. All right. Are we ready? Dear Lord, thanks for your love. Help us to continue to be clear about why we're doing what we're doing so that we can continue to share love with others. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So, all right. You guys, if you want to go and catch up with Scott. Thanks, Scott. Good to see you. Okay, so what is this? Who can tell me?
Christmas box.
X goes with that. So it's a, who has any idea what I'm talking about here?
Yep.
So these are the shoe boxes. Why do we have shoe boxes? What are we trying to do? Put shoes in? No. What are we doing?
Christmas gifts for
Christmas
children
gifts for those who can't afford it and have got nothing. And when I was overseas, we used to get care boxes, and they were just beautiful things. And so some kid at Christmas will get a box full of beautiful things. And so if you'd like to contribute, there's some out there, and Judy Beams has got a whole variety of different answers she can questions she can answer. All right, so the other thing is, this next couple of weeks I'll be at PAC, but feel free to send me emails, texts, or other if you need. I'm only a phone call away, so I'm going to hand over to Colin as he leads us in some prayers, and I'll just clean up my mess. Thanks, Colin.
Perhaps your experience is like mine, that from time to time you read some prayers composed by other people, and they catch you in some way, and you think about them, you meditate on them, and you wish perhaps that you had said them first or written them first. Today, as I bring our intercessions, I want to bring one of those prayers that I read as an introduction. So let's pray together. O God of glory and God of grace, whose majesty adorns the heavens and whose mercy fills the earth, who needs nothing we can give, yet gives us everything we need, who silences the shouts of the proud, yet amplifies the whispers of the humble. We come before you in awe and gratitude. We are in awe of the glory with which you bless the universe. We bow in gratitude for the light with which you illumine our lives. Dear God, we come as a church community with so many things that take our collective mind. And as we come as individuals with our own personal concerns and hurts and questions, we know that you listen to us. We've all been shocked by the events in Afghanistan. Lord God, we fear for so many people there, especially the women and girls, in the light of their treatment in the past. We fear for the minority there of Christian brothers and sisters. And we fear also for so many other people who, in their terror, cry out for help. O God, we pray that our fears may prove to be unfounded. We ask that you will help us here in Australia to be a welcoming nation as refugees come from that place to our shores. And we pray that other countries may also express their welcome. We constantly pray for our own nation and for other peoples as the COVID pandemic continues. We express our concerns for people in New South Wales especially, but for other states as well, as they battle to contain the virus. Right throughout our country, we are aware there are not only those who suffer from the illness, but there are many who suffer from the demands of restrictions on them. So our prayer calls out for all of those people in need. We pray that we might be caring people for them as well as being careful people. Please hear our prayers for others. We pray for the people in Haiti as they deal with the concerns of earthquake and flood. We pray for the poor in our world who are deprived of so much, and we pray for generous hearts as we are able to respond, and for the generosity to be seen throughout the world at large. We pray too for so many under persecution, some for religion, some for their race. O Lord, it seems that there are so many reasons that people can take up persecution of others. And so we remember those under persecution. We bring our prayers for our own country. We pray for our leaders and ask that policy may bow to compassion and rules to kindness and care. Help us all to respond to your spirit of love as we share our lives in our community and beyond. We pray for our church that it might be a light to our community and a sure means to help people to understand the gospel of our Lord. We bring our own personal prayers about our families and friends as they deal with sometimes very difficult situations. We would mention their names to you now. And Lord God, we take this opportunity to bring our own special concerns to you. As we close, dear Lord, may we truly find your peace and neither grow weary nor cease to do good as we walk in the spirit of your grace. We bring our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Carl. I think we're very blessed to have some really wonderful intercessory prayers. So I think it's really important, isn't it, to bring the world in front of us, because whenever we turn on the radio, TV, the world is just there in our living room, isn't it? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we spend some time thinking on this theme, vision and mission, we ask that your spirit would continue to stir us and help change us and grow us in whatever way you need to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not sure what sort of a week you've had. Sometimes, you know, we get to Sunday and it's like, oh, lots of emotional things happening, and this week's no different. So today we are talking about the vision and mission of this place, the Vines. And last week we were talking about team. Together, everyone achieves more. And how this impacts on Paul's metaphor of the body. So he used the idea and metaphor as a body, and we expanded that a bit by using team and looking at examples from the Olympics and how, you know, different organizations and teams really function very well. And this Olympics, the Opals, which is the women's basketball team, really didn't do well, which is surprisingly, because most Olympics, they're often fighting off for silver. And they've won 3 silvers and a couple of bronzes. This year, however, it was the men's team to actually win a medal. First time in 56 years. So finally we can do a hurrah for that. And I guess part of what was significant was the culture that Patty Mills and others were really talking about, that just never gave up. That sense of team and connection, that was so powerful. So, yeah, and that's the same for us as an organization. And over the weekend, you know, the footy teams, some did brilliantly, some not so well, And again, it's that teen spirit we're talking of. I'm just looking for all those people who've got one eye. Trying to pick out the poor Barakapo. Oh, the poor job. So it's interesting, isn't it? So the next slide, and I'm sorry about this, not your glasses. Your glasses aren't foggy. I just didn't get a good enough quality of photo. But when we come into church, we have this sign, reaching out in God's love. Now, I'm not sure how long that's been up there for. 10, 15 years? Don't know.
Longer.
Okay, so it's been there a long time. And what does it mean? What does it look like to reach out in God's love? And look, how has COVID impacted our ability to do that? I mean, if we just think of how we can reach out in our own family. I mean, strike, that's been really hard, isn't it? So many limitations. And that's in South Australia where we've had limited impact, really, when you look at it. Now, vision statements are normally hope-filled pictures from the heart for the future of the church. So when we talk about vision, we're talking about something bigger and other, something that inspires us to hope, inspiration, looking forward. That's why words like survive, do what I want, never change, do not appear in vision statements. Could you imagine what a vision statement would be? My great vision for life is to never change. That's not very inspiring, although I do know some people have that approach. Vision statements are meant to be something that draws us out, takes us beyond ourselves. And like the front cover of the Grapevine today picks out some of those questions. What does God want to accomplish through us? What will our ministry need to look like to accomplish this vision? What is it? Now, it's true for individuals, true for churches, true for organizations. It's true if you're building a house. You need to have a bit of a vision for what you want to build. You don't say to a builder, hey, look, my block of land is here, just feel free. Do you? No. Although sometimes when you look at what the builder's built and you compare it with the plan, you think maybe they did feel free. But most times there's a clear picture, a plan, and the builder builds to that. So part of our vision about what we're doing needs to be connected with, well, how do we do that? So mission is a part of that overarching statement. What are we supposed to be doing? Who do we serve? How will we serve these people? Who, what, how? Sounds a little bit like Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? What, who, how? You know, what is it we're on about as a church? Why do we exist? And I'm glad I didn't take Sam's head off with my pillow kick. But again, it's, you know, when we're clear about why we're doing something, how we do it is really important. So Mark Schultz earlier in the year, we invited Mark along to come from Synod to help the leaders team, Church Council, unpack, I guess, a bit of who we are. And he came and preached as well and invited people to feed back different ideas and views about community. And these are some of the ideas. And the next Sunday, you'll be able to pick up that report and it'll help, I guess, help clarify some of the points that Mark came up with. So one of the questions he asked was, who do you want to be as a congregation? And your answers were a strong community, changing lives, connected with God more deeply, focused in faith, edified by our worship life together, knowing God's love more deeply, hearing from God, like-minded, outwardly focused. And that was the summary of them. You could have gone on. There was lots of different responses people had. The aim is to grow something out of what we have. So the original vision statement we had here at the Vines, like if you jumped on the web page last year or the year before, the summary would be, God is calling us to be a vibrant, growing community reaching out in God's love. So after Mark spent a bit of time with us, we're trying to think around, well, what does that look like? How does that play out? The next slide picks this up a bit more. So we've broken it down into our vision and mission. To be a vibrant, growing community of faith. Our mission, reaching out in God's love and connecting others to Christ. Can we go back to the previous slide? To be a vibrant, growing community, reaching out in God's love. Next one. So what we've done is broken it in half. The vision is something hope-filled and bigger. So our vision is to be a vibrant, growing community of faith. Really simple, isn't it? So what do we want to be? We want to be a healthy, growing community. In fact, there's the word vibrance in there. When I look over here, there's some vibrant masks. So what is vibrant? Vibrant is colourful, dynamic, isn't it? Vibrant. Maybe I should have asked you to all wear some vibrant clothing. There's some nice vibrant pink down the front. Some other vibrant. So vibrant's an interesting word, isn't it? What do we mean by vibrant? David's guitar playing today was vibrant. And, I was just waiting for his, fingers and everything to go flying. Vibrant, vibrant. What does vibrant look like? So I guess really what we're trying to say is a vision is trying to draw us outwards, to connect us in, to be colourful. Like these pictures behind us, we're not wanting to be drab, boring and mundane, but to be alive, connected and relevant. Vibrant. So I think one of the things that, to have, we're not simply wanting to paint everything yellow or pink, because we want to be true as well, don't we? Because we know our journey in life is hard. We know things confront us with difficulties, so we're not trying to deny that. That's not being vibrant. That's just building a facade and ignoring stuff. And that's not what we want. We know Christians suffer. We know life's not fair. But we still want to be vibrant and relevant and connected. Abundant, I guess, is another word. I like the word abundant. Jesus came to give us abundant life, not boring life or half-fulfilled life, but abundant, vibrant, significant life in the midst of our hardships. And in the midst of COVID, we find ourselves still trying to be vibrant and connected and significant and relevant. So, and I guess the other part of that really which helps us is the next slide is, there's a vibrant colour, and there, that's a definition of what vibrancy might look like. Next slide. So again, it's like that sharing the body. And so part of our vibrancy comes not in our individuality, but our collectiveness. So collectively, we are vibrant. But we're only as good as what we put in. And so there's that challenge, isn't it? That a team is not made of one person. A team is made of many working together to achieve what they can. It's like a quilt. It's like a whole pile of things. You've got all these little different sections that make it whole. Sharing like a body, our gifts, skills, talents. And it's a bit like the reading from last week. I think what makes us different as a community is we're willing to share each other's suffering. That's interesting, isn't it? So part of who we are as a community is willing to share each other's suffering. It's not like, get over it, princess, you'll be right. Here, take a half a cup of concrete, harden up. Yeah. Our community is compassionate, empathetic, as we endeavour to care for each other. And that's where, I guess it explains our why. Our reaching out in the community is not simply to put people right, but to be empathetic and compassionate as we help connect them, knowing that their lives are no different from ours, because none of us are spared hardship. None of us are spared suffering. But where we come in is our empathy and compassion is the thing that sustains us as a community, as individuals. I mean, how many people are just outright lonely? And then you go to places like Victoria and New South Wales where they're seriously locked down, or the rest of the world for that matter. Just the hardship from being separated from community. So our mission to reach out and reflect God's love, connecting with others, is a significant connection. It's a paying forward of God's love, for we receive and we give back. So I want you to pause for a moment. So who is it in your journey of faith who has shown you love when you needed it, or acceptance, or I don't know, it could have been something simple, a phone call, drop past when you weren't expecting it, maybe no one knew you were suffering or going through something hard. Can you think of one person that did something for you? Can you picture them? Can you name them? I can think of a few. Just there at that point where I just... So part of what, as a community, we do is we pay that forward in the sense that we're also trying to help do that for others, aren't we? Can you think of someone that you've actually done that for? Have you been that little circuit breaker for someone, or that listening ear, or that, hey, let's go out for a coffee, or I don't know. Or maybe there's people in your family you've invested in so much to try and make a difference. So that's our why, isn't it? When we talk about, we've got the what we're doing, but the why. We're really trying to make a difference to people's lives. Next slide. So when Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of the nations, that's a challenging thing. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Whew. Sorry, is that interesting? Most churches, if you ask them what their mission statement, they would come back to this reading. What is the mission of the church? This reading. Go and make disciples. So if you're ever confused about what the mission of the church is, Matthew 28, give that a read. Real clear. Jesus, this is our what? Bop, 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 bop. Go, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, get them to obey Jesus' commands. And so that's something that's been generating 2,000 years worth of effort from churches. It's not simply saying the leaders go, it's everybody. We are all sent out. That's why I often think, you know, that sign we have on the inside of the building, we should nail it as we go out the doors. It's on the wrong wall, wrong set of doors. It should be on the back doors. So we go out and go, oh yeah, that's right. Go into the... You know what I mean? So we come in and we go, oh, that's right. We're supposed to go out in the world. We're supposed to reach out in God's love. Oh. So we might... I might, if you come in one day and it's not there, it's because I've stuck it on the other wall. Again, it's a reminder, isn't it? What we exist for. So we have a what. It's a really clear what, and we're all sent out, and we've, you know, with this vibrant love and hope, and like we have our what's in this place. We have our worship band, we have our, you know, barbecue outreach, we have our strawberry fairs had some new innovation, and no longer do we have it once a year, we have it 4 times a year as we try and reach out in creative and new ways, because we're clear on the why. The why is to be in a part of community, reaching out in community, connecting with community. And so that's an interesting adaption. The next slide is one of those really important quotes. People will work for a what, but they will die for a why. What, how, what? Why, what, how? People will work for a what, but they'll die for a why. I think one of the distressing things, as Colin's already prayed for, in Afghanistan, it's clear that the coalition, their understanding of their why are we in Afghanistan, no longer exists. And the why the Afghani government and the Afghani army had is gone. So that means the Taliban, who really are very clear on their why and are willing to die for it, just rolled through that whole place in less than a week. That's just insane. And there's a lot of mitigating circumstances. I understand, like with the Americans being there one day and not the next, all the airstrike, which was a superior part of the American way of doing business, was absent. And so I understand in some ways why the Afghanis lost morale. And morale is one of those really funny things. When you lose your why, what's the point? And it's just such a tragic thing. And in today's Sunday Mail, there are a number of articles written by ex-veterans and a Paralympian. I can't remember his name. The engineer who lost both his legs was talking about looking at this conflict and thinking, did I just waste my legs in Afghanistan for nothing? And he said, well, as he was watching some of the footage, he saw a picture of an old man that he actually met when he was in Afghanistan. And the old man had actually warned them about some IEDs that were hidden at his own risk. And he said, well, actually, you know, by removing those IEDs, we actually saved a lot of lives. And so even though the war had not ended in a way that he'd hoped, there was a sense in which he could actually have some peace about his contribution, even though it cost him both his legs. So when you have a clear why, you can endure anything. And I think that's part of why I keep hammering on about the why. We have to keep our why before us. Why are we doing this? And it's really important, because if we were just here because it meant nothing to us, then that's really a tough why, isn't it? Why do I have to get out of bed on a Sunday? Everybody else sleeps in. Why am I doing this? If there's not that connection, if you're not clear, that makes it really hard. I sympathize with you. I'm thankful you're here, watching online whenever. So our whys are really critical. They make the difference between struggling and suffering through life and having some clarity. So Jesus said, I am with you to the end of the age. Well, why is that significant? Does Jesus say, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age to make you feel guilty when you don't do stuff? To make you feel miserable that somehow you're supposed to be doing everything and save the world? Jesus says, I am with you to the end of the age, because Jesus loves us, supports us, wants us to know God's love as he did. So that's our why. Jesus with us. There's a great quote, you know, if you're lost and you don't know where to go, follow Jesus. Now, it's a bit simplistic, but I laughed at that. You know, our default position is follow Jesus. You know, when we don't get our mission statement or our vision statement sorted, default, follow Jesus. After all, this is Jesus' business we're on, not our own. So, as we can come to the end of our sermon, next one is remember that I'm with you today. This one. So, the why and the what. We need to have a clear why helps our what. They're both connected. This sort of, you can't tell the beginning and the end. So the why and the what are really, circular. We cannot underestimate the power of knowing both what and why. And so that means that in our faith journey, we become the message. So we become the example of what it is Jesus is trying to do in this world. And in fact, I would say that one of the most significant sermons you're going to preach this week is not the one you're listening to now. As you go out into your week, you are preaching a sermon. Maybe not with words, but with actions. I don't know, what would your theme be this week? I don't know. How is it that you're going to live out this message of hope beyond the walls in a way that gives hope for others maybe, or affirms your own? We are the message. At home, at work, at church, at the shops, what is it? What is that message going to be? So let me pause for a moment. So, what would you say? What is it? What is one thing you're going to connect with from this message today? So I'll give you a little bit of thinking time rather than me set the agenda for your reflection. What is one thing you're taking away from today's message or maybe the songs or something that's occurred today. So just pause for a moment. What is it? Someone asks you when you get home, hey, what happened? What was it like? You go, well, actually. Lord Jesus, we try and endeavor to live out our faith in a vibrant and growing way. We try and be representatives here in this place of your love and hope. Lord Jesus, we continue to open our lives to you and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, David.
We have two pieces of music to finish the service, one just now, which you will know, and one after the benediction. So if you'd remain seated after the benediction. Thanks.
God's righteousness revealed, the Son of Man, the Son of God, his kingdom comes. Jesus, redemption sacrifice, now glorified, now justified, kingdom comes, and his kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bounds, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's king has come, and this kingdom's reign, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, the expression of God's love, grace of God, the Word of God, revealed to us. Jesus, God's holiness displayed, now glorified, now justified, his kingdom come. Kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, you're God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, you're God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, you're God's righteousness
revealed. A reminder that next week, Reverend Ewan Kitto is going to be preaching on the values. So again, when you look inside your grapevine, there's a whole series of values that have been historically a part of Vine's understanding of itself. So we're going to reflect on that to try and reconnect in and feel what that feels like. And so I'm going to invite you to stand and then I'll invite you to sit down. Just so you know. Let's stand as I just send you on your way, if you're able. Lord Jesus, we ask that your Holy Spirit would go with these people as they go from this place. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Take your seats. The song finishes the service where the service began, with the words of Isaiah that Jesus read in the synagogue way back then. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to set the captives free, to release the prisoner from darkness, to proclaim the of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to give to them a crown of beauty instead of tears. I will give the oil of gladness instead of despair, a garment of praise. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. Because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. Because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. Is on us. Is on us. Blessings. Have a great week.